DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now, we're announcing a bold new goal. To reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050, DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy, they do what's right. DTE.
Our energy grid. It powers the present and fuels the future. That's why DTE is working every day, planning and building the grid of tomorrow. Investing in infrastructure that's stronger and more resilient. Using advanced technologies to make it smarter and more responsive. So you can have reliable, affordable energy where you need it, when you need it. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
Former Grand Rapids Griffins head coach and now current head coach of your Detroit Red Wings, Jeff Blashill, is our guest. So happy to have the coach on in this episode of Fast Break, the podcast series. I'm Brett Bikita, your host. And boy, coach, I was thinking about this, getting ready for the interview. It's been a while going back to our days. We used to have you on all the time with my old show, Bikita and Bentley, and we miss you, coach.
Yeah, no, I miss my time in GR. Certainly loved my time, loved being on with you, and it seems like it was yesterday, but the years go by fast. But certainly enjoyed my time in West Michigan from a couple different stints, and will always have a real special place in my heart.
Well, and for those people who don't know the Jeff Blashill story, I mean, truly, from Sault Ste. Marie, where you grew up, your dad was a professor at Lake Superior State. You were born in Detroit, so going back to Hockey Town, I'm sure, was something special we'll get to in a minute. But from Big Rapids to Grand Rapids to Hockey Town, a few stops in between at different colleges and stuff. And Coach, here you are. You're 45 years old, and you just got announced that you're going into the class of 2020 for the Ferris State Bulldogs Hall of Fame. That's got to be special for you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Perk Weisenberg gave me a call. It's a number of weeks now, but it was during this quarantine period, and it was really, really cool call to receive, something I certainly never would have thought when I was finished playing. Ferris is a very, very important place in my, and has a real, real special place in my heart. When Perk called me, I wasn't a great player. I'm not going into the Hall of Fame because of my playing days, that's for certain, but certainly probably more for my post-playing career. And it's fitting that it's Ferris because of the fact that, Ferris is where I really got my start in coaching. And my first 2 years, I was a starting goaltender at Ferris. And my junior year, I actually lost my starting job there. And, you know, Bob Daniels, who is still the head coach there and is a really, really good friend of mine to this day, Bob did an unbelievable job of continuing to make me feel important even when I wasn't playing. And I would be on the bench, and he'd come ask me questions about different things, ask me questions about strategy, ask me different stuff, would ask me questions during practice. And I think it was as this has happened and this pause is happening in our NHL season, it was a good reminder of me to understand the importance of everybody on your team, not just necessarily the ones that are making that big impact on a nightly basis on the ice. Other people impact your team in ways of winning. And so, you know, he's the one that really got me started into coaching just by starting to really pique my interest. Prior to that, I had thought of getting into law school. I had thought of maybe trying to make a world in the financial markets. And Bob is the one that came up to me my senior year and said, hey, you know, what do you think about getting into coaching? And so, you know, from there, I ended up staying at Ferris as a volunteer assistant the next year and then got the job full-time as the assistant. And so the fact that I'm, going into the Ferris Hall of Fame, really a lot to do with, obviously, my coaching career post-graduate time at Ferris, I think is super fitting because of the impact Bob Daniels has had on my life. And the other thing I'd say is I met my wife at Ferris, and it's just a really, really special place for me. I'll always consider myself a Bulldog, and the fact that I get to go in the Hall of Fame and be honored that way is real special.
Coach, it's interesting you say that because you always hear, right, no matter what the sport is, guys that were former players, maybe not the star players, always turn out to be maybe the better coaches because they had to work hard or they had to find something different. It wasn't as easy for them. And I'm curious, from the goaltender position that you played and what you just shared with us, do you think that made you the coach you are now? Because when I talked to you as a Grand Rapids Griffins head coach, I was so impressed. You were always prepared, always had, you know, analytics behind what you did, video. I mean, you were working with guys. You had those relationships. I mean, all the important things. But the preparedness, I think, does that go back to what you just said you learned at Ferris State?
Yeah, well, I would say a couple of things. One is, as a goalie, you have a unique perspective. And
right.
And you're certainly looking at it from different angles. I have an analytical type mind anyways. And so I was, always looking at the game from those types of angles. But the other side of it, too, is, when you're a young player and when you're a young coach, you have a chance to build a foundation. And your coaching career will be built on that. And one of the things that I would really credit Bob Daniels, Drew Famulak, who's still there, who I worked with my whole time at Ferris, Jamie Russell, who was the assistant there for a while, Mark Kaufman, who's there now, that coaching staff, one of the things I'd credit them in helping my foundation is the organization and the preparedness. And they were always ultra-prepared. Bob had learned from Ron Mason, the legendary coach at Michigan State who he played for, and they were always ultra-prepared. They were always very, very organized, and certainly that helped build my foundation, as a young coach starting at Ferris and learning under those guys.
You know, it's amazing when I went back and looked at your stints, just when you were a head coach, the Indiana Ice and the USHL, and you win in the first year, you get the championship. You go to Western, you have success there in your first year. And you were an assistant at Miami before that, and, then you have the assistant time with Mike Babcock at the Red Wings, but then you get the head coaching nod again for the Griffins in a short amount of time, success, bringing the franchise its first Calder Cup championship. It's amazing the track you had, the consistency there of how quickly you were able to do stuff. Are you amazed by that still as you look back?
Yeah, it was a ride. It was a wild ride. We didn't. When I went to Indy, I left Miami where I was an assistant, as you mentioned, and Miami was a great spot and learned a ton at Miami. And I really could have worked there for a long, long time. It was a very safe place to be. My kids were 1 and 2, I believe, or 1 and 3, just turned 3, and so. It would have been easy for me to stay in Miami, and I almost did. And I took a leap of faith and decided to go try to be a head coach in the junior level. And with that comes risk. It comes risk of getting fired. It comes risk of those things. And we just kind of went there and we didn't know what to expect. There was no huge expectations on the team. And we got after it. And it ended up in a championship. And I would say that would have been similar to the time in GR. When I went to GR, there wasn't huge expectations. The prior years, I think we had missed the playoffs, and so we just kind of went there and went to work. And the one thing we had in common on all those teams you mentioned that I've been a head coach with we've had great success is we had lots of talent for sure, but our best players were winners. And I think, we all talk about culture, and I'm on a lot of Zoom calls with coaches, and you'd love to be able to build culture and all that. And certainly the coach has an impact on that, but the biggest key to culture is having your best players be winners, be hard workers, be super competitive, be super selfless, and we've had that at all those stops. I've been real fortunate to coach some really, really great people who were great players, and when you have that, you can have special teams, and I've been fortunate enough to have some special teams at those stops.
Current head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, Jeff Blashill, is our guest on this episode of Fast Break, the podcast series. Coach, I'm going to throw this date out there, and I want your emotion going back to that time. Named head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, iconic hockey town, June 9th, 2015. Mike Babcock decides to leave to go to Toronto. What thought was going through your mind when that day came and that announcement?
Well, there was parts of it that were surreal. I drove over the night before the press conference, and as we drove into downtown, a downtown that I'd driven into a number of times, as you mentioned, I'm a Michigan boy. I was born in Detroit and grew up in Sault Ste. Marie and spent most of my life, all my life in the Midwest and a lot of my life in Michigan. And my wife's from the Detroit area, grew up in New Boston. And as we drove into downtown, you drive right past Joe Louis Arena. And I just remember in that drive just thinking, man, this is really, really neat. It's really, really neat. It's an unbelievable opportunity for me. It's something that I'll always cherish. And to think back as a young boy playing hockey, I mean, my family wasn't a hockey family. We didn't grow up in hockey. My parents didn't play hockey. We just moved to Sault Ste. Marie. And in the Sioux, obviously, especially at that time, there was lots of hockey. And Lake Superior State went on a big run as a college team. And I just got passionately into hockey and was really fortunate to be coached by a couple of great, great people and play with a number of great people. And for all that to culminate and get the opportunity to coach your hometown team, the team that you grew up cheering for, the emotions were high. And it was a really cool experience. When you get to the press conference, I think you're more on. You're ready for questions. You're that. It was that night before, especially that drive-in, driving past the iconic Joe Louis Arena, and knowing that I was going to get the chance to be the Red Wings head coach was a really special moment in my life.
Coach, besides the paycheck, the difference between AHL coach, because of how that league, and you know firsthand, has improved in the talent level and everything to feed the parent NHL, biggest difference between an AHL coach and an NHL coach in your mind?
Well, there's probably a few of them. I don't know if there's one. You know, certainly the schedule is interesting that in a sense that there's not a huge difference in games, but the schedule's totally different. It's a more relentless schedule in the NHL. I think we only play 6 more games, but it's every other night, and it's you don't ever get a break. And so managing your team is more difficult in the NHL from that sense of trying to practice and get as much practice time as you can without having your guys be gassed for games. And that's a learning process, and it's something I've had to learn on how hard you can push them to the limit and maximize that practice time without sacrificing their ability to be great in games. And so that's part of it. There's certainly more external pressures in the NHL, and not necessarily just fan base or just media based. You just have a lot more people that are great, great hockey people around on a more consistent basis. That's the reality of the NHL, and so becoming accustomed and comfortable with every decision being second guessed, and that's okay. That's part of this business, but you have to become comfortable with that. And certainly, that's a different animal than it is in the American League. And then the last thing I'd say, and this is an interesting thing because I think it's the only level that has the least flexibility in this, and that's a player acquirement and the ability to really change your team fast. And in the American League, you can change it faster by the level of free agents that you can go out and sign. Like we got an opportunity after my first year, and we won, and we were able to go out and get an Andy Mealy and a Kevin Porter. And those guys are elite players at the American League level, elite winners, great people. It is very difficult in the NHL to change your team fast because there are very few free agents out there that you would consider elite team changers, guys that make everybody else in your team way better. In fact, there might be one a year, there might be none. And generally, those guys are going to teams that are really close to winning. And so, you know, that's been certainly, it's just part of the process here. It makes it a longer turnover, takes longer to change your team. But it's part of the reality of the NHL, and everybody's got an even playing field that way. It just makes, again, it requires at times, I guess, more patience, where when I was in junior, we were able to go out and get a Torrey Krug, who wasn't even drafted. We were able to go out and get a Shane Birchbach, who's been a really good player in Toledo in the East Coast Hockey League, and all of a sudden we're a way better team and we win a championship. The same thing, certainly in college, you're recruiting on a regular basis. The American League I talked about, in the NHL, you just can't do that. So that's a big difference for sure.
What's it like working for Stevie Y now in the building, one of the most iconic players in Red Wings history as a part of the organization?
Yeah, you know, if I go back to when I got the job, probably the one of the messages that I kept for a long time was a message I got from Steve. He was at Tampa at the time, but just congratulating me on being named the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings. And listen, I grew up a Red Wings fan. nothing embodied that more than Steve Yzerman. So that was a really neat moment. Now to work for him and with him has been great. Like it's a great opportunity for me to be able to glean off his experiences. He's lived what we're going through. He was part of a massive rebuild as a young player and lived through some lean years in building it into a team that was contending for a championship but couldn't win and then got over the hump and won at the highest level. He's lived all that. And so, he's lived it to some degree as a manager as well. They were at a different spot in Tampa. They certainly, they had a number one and a number two pick. But he's helped build that organization up to the level it's at right now as one of the best teams in the NHL. And so I think it's been a great opportunity to glean that information, to have those conversations, to listen to his experiences and learn from his experiences and see which ones can apply to our team in its current state. I like working for Steve because he's super honest, and I always know where I stand. He has no problem having real conversations, and I think that's ultimately how you get the best answers, is to have real conversations where nobody's worried about hurting each other's feelings, and you just have those conversations, and you're searching for the best answer to get to the top. And so I've enjoyed it. It's been great. I consider myself extremely lucky to have worked for two general managers, Ken Holland and Steve Yzerman. Both guys are Ken's going to be a Hall of Famer. Steve is a Hall of Famer. I consider myself real lucky.
Detroit Red Wings head coach Jeff Blashill, our guest. Coach, couple of final questions for you. One is, and you touched on this a little bit, with the franchise and where it's at right now, but how excited are you about the youth in this franchise?
Oh, excited. I think if you go back to my first year as the head coach, we made the playoffs, but we didn't trade away any draft picks to try to get players to help us on a run there. That was the first time that the Red Wings hadn't done that in a long, long time. And then after that, we traded away some good NHL talent for a number of draft picks. And that does two things. One, it certainly puts us in a position like we're in where, sometimes it's not easy to win. But it also puts you in a great position to have a ton of draft picks, and we've done that. And I think we've drafted a number of players who have a chance to be really good. How good? I don't know. And how fast? I don't know. Those are questions you can't really answer until it happens. But, I look at the pool, and, I think the pool sits in a really good spot. The pool of players sits in a really good spot. Certainly the pool of defensemen that have a chance to be good NHL players, I think, is as big as it's been since I've been here. And can some of those guys become elite? Can some of them become great? Those questions aren't answered yet, but certainly some of them look like they have a chance to be. And ultimately, what we need, people ask me about the rebuild. What do you need? What you need is you need a few elite players. And, we've got some young guys on our team that are working towards trying to become that, that are currently on our team. And then we've got some guys that, as you talked about, in that young player pool, that we hope can become that as well. And when those guys, again, can become those elite players that are winners, then you got a chance to have a real special team.
Coach, final question, and maybe the toughest, because we're all on this mystery zone that we call COVID-19 and the pandemic, and obviously our thoughts and prayers with our frontline workers and also people staying healthy. But for hockey fans out there, any idea, any indication, what are your thoughts on even finishing this season?
Well, I pretty much know what you read in the newspaper, and I guess there's newspapers, but websites and things like that, and I pretty much know that more than any real inside information. It looks like the NHL is really trying. Well, it doesn't look like. I know they're really trying to finish the season in some fashion. I think originally when this pause happened, I think there was a real push to try to finish all 82 games and keep that part of the season in integral. Now it's starting to look a little bit more like it. Those teams might be reduced, and teams that are out of it like us may not come back and play, but that they'll still have enough teams to try to get to a good spot and allow teams to play in the playoffs and award a Stanley Cup. So we'll see. Nothing's definitive yet. Certainly it feels like it's building towards, I hear lots of talk of a 2014 right now, but that's based on media reports. So we'll see. We'll see where it all shakes out. I know nothing's for certain. I'd love the chance to get back and get with our team. I'd love that opportunity. We've all been, confined to home for a long time now, and we'd love the opportunity to get back to work. But we'll see if it happens or not.
Coach, it's been too long, but thank you so much for answering the call, taking time. You've always done that in my career, and I appreciate that. And we're so proud of you over here in Hockey Town West of what you are doing and what the Red Wings are doing and the players that we saw in Grand Rapids that are now playing with the parent club. Thank you so much. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Yeah, you stay safe too, Brett. Thank you for having me on.
The Fast Break podcast series is being brought to you by Grand Rapids Community College.
Fit college into your busy life with weekend, evening, and seven-week classes at GRCC. You can visit grcc.edu/apply today. This is GRCC President Bill Pink, and I can't wait to see you at Grand Rapids Community College this fall. Again, visit grcc.edu/apply today. You'll be able to learn why GRCC is West Michigan's best choice.
From the depths of winter to cookouts in summer, natural gas is your safe, reliable, affordable energy source. Because DTE buys gas in the summer when prices are low and stores it to keep prices affordable. And we upgrade and monitor the system 24/7, 365. So for all you do, natural gas is there for you. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE. At DTE, our number one priority is your safety. So DTE is constantly monitoring and inspecting our natural gas infrastructure to make sure it's safe. But if you do smell gas or hear hissing, leave the area immediately. Call 911 and then DTE at 800-947-5000. We will send someone right away to check it out. Please, if you suspect a gas leak, make the call. DTE.